In confusion and uncertainty, there emerges a guiding light, a beacon that cuts through the darkness. Welcome to Beacon of Truth with your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Beacon of Truth. I am your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and you are listening on the EW10 Global Catholic Radio Network. So glad to be with you. I'm still here in New York City, out on Long Island in the Diocese of Rockville Center. I have a talk tonight in Massapequa, Long Island. It's for the Diocesan Eucharistic Congress, their local one here, and I'm going to be talking about the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass and the Eucharist. So excited to be giving that talk tonight. But I'm most excited because they're going to also have adoration as part of the event tonight. And so I have to cut my talk a little bit short, but that's okay. More time for Jesus, the better. You know, so I'm okay with that. And I'll be helping assisting Father with adoration tonight as well. So awesome evening in store tonight. So if you're in the area, come on out to Massapequa. Would love to see you out there. I think it's St. Rose is the parish out there. So yeah, come on out at 7:30 p.m. tonight. And again, looking forward to seeing you there. Today is Wednesday. What does that mean? It's Word of God Wednesday. So we get a double feeding of God's Word today. First of all, of course, in the Soulful Psalms segment, where we break open God's Word in the Psalms. But because it's Wednesday, you get a double feeding of God's Word as we'll look at the Gospel for this Sunday, the 23rd Sunday of Ordinary Time, Year B, which is Mark. We're looking at Mark chapter 7, verses 31 to 37, where Jesus opens the ears of the man that was deaf and who could not speak. And we're going to be taking a look at that Gospel. Now, why do we do these Word of God Wednesdays? It's more than just biblical exegesis, right? So it's more than just analyzing the gospel critically or looking at language and word choice and, you know, the exegetical things. It's more about how, and there's some of that, of course, but most of it is about how do we connect the scriptures to your everyday lived experience? That's the key. Or else you just hear these words on Sunday, some book that's 2,000 years old, and Jesus says some cool stuff. It's so much more than that. We're being fed and nurtured by God's Word. The Word of God feeds our hearts, our minds, and our souls. It prepares us to receive our Lord again, body, blood, soul, divinity, in the most blessed sacrament of the Eucharist. Right? And so we do these Word of God Wednesdays so you can get, when you go to Mass on Sunday, you're not hearing the gospel for the first time, and now you're able to enter more deeply into the gospel. And in a sense, place yourself in those pages of God's words to see your life, your story, your heart, to see yourself. God is speaking to you, to your life, to your situation, to your circumstances, to your needs, to your heart. In the gospels, in the scriptures. And so we want to make that connection deeper for you so you have a greater experience of God's word, so you are fed more deeply by God's word, so you're encouraged to enter into more contemplation of God's word. Of course, contemplation moves us closer to God, moves us deeper into his most sacred heart. And so that's what these Word of God Wednesdays are designed to do, right? To help us bring her to deeper intimacy with the Lord in and through his most holy word. All right, so once again, we're looking at the gospel for this Sunday, which would be the 23rd Sunday in Ordinary Time, which is Mark's gospel this year in the year B. We're going to be looking at Mark chapter 7, verses 31 to 37. Jesus healing the man that was deaf and unable to speak. So very much looking forward to sharing that with you. And we're going to look at, of course, in our usual segment on the Psalms. We're looking at looking at Psalm, part of Psalm 72 today. if you want to be with us, would love to hear from you. Give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Or you can always send us an email, beacon@EWTN.com. And one of the reasons why I love doing this show so much, besides interacting with all of the members of the EWTN family and those who listen to Beacon of Truth, is because of the awesome people working behind the scenes to bring you this show every day. Now, is Michael McCall still screening calls?
Actually, Matthew is back, so we're excited.
All right, it's full team. All right. Yeah, the regular team is back. So we're glad. We hope they enjoyed their time off, their vacation, because they deserve it too.
Yep.
So Matt Gabinski's back screening calls, and Charles Beery doing social media, and our producer, who you just heard, of course, Ace McKay. Ace, how you doing?
Doing good. And wherever you work, whenever you have someone out and then they come back, make sure you thank them for coming back, because you realize how much you miss your coworkers and all that they do. Because, man, it's been a crazy couple of weeks, so it's kind of nice to be full team and everybody back at their helm again.
Yes. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. So good. And you've been posting more stuff on Instagram, I see some more of you playing.
Yeah, a lot of people go through a midlife crisis where they, buy a boat or they get a motorcycle or get a couple of tattoos. And I've got the tattoos. I don't need the other stuff. So I've redesigned my basement for a studio. And so got my whole drum kit and full new mixer all set up with lights and great mics. And so I just go down there and let all of my teenage angst out, if I still had any left, just kind of let it roll right through, Hey, I'm going to go downstairs, baby. Okay. I'll see you in an hour, So it's been great. Plus my kids were in that season, 'cause I got theater kids, right? So my wife's directing a show. My kids are in rehearsals for two shows right now. So it's just me. So I got plenty of time to play music. So I'm gonna.
Yeah. Why not? Why not? Been playing some Chicago. I saw you posted on there.
Got some on there.
So what is your favorite kind of the stuff you would post is your favorite stuff to play, at least on drums?
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of at that place where stuff that I used to not gravitate to, I kind of want to go and see if I can finally play it. Because when you're not playing with a band and you're just playing with tracks and then adding the drums, you don't have the drama of rehearsals and, hauling your gear to the next gig and all that stuff. So I just kind of, hey, what am I in the mood for? And then, all right, let's try this. And then if it works, great. If it doesn't, then I'm like, okay, that's the areas that I need to work on.
Yeah, and it leaves you some freedom to be creative as well.
Right.
So you don't have to play it exactly the way it sounds on the record.
Agreed.
Or, you can put your own style, your own flavor, your own feel to the song so that it doesn't take away from the song.
Yeah.
But that you're adding when you hear something like, oh, that's cool.
Yep.
Drumeo does that. That's a YouTube channel that I follow with drummers and what they have sometimes on there. They have drummers that listen to a song they've never heard before,
mm-hmm.
and they without the drum part.
Yeah, and then they have to guess.
And then they have to just with mm-hmm. Their best interpretation. So it's great. The best part is first of all, if you're familiar with the song, and I don't think they have a song on there that I haven't been familiar with. When you hear them play, it's like, oh, that's an interesting interpretation. And what's really fun is when at the end, when they listen to the original version of the song that they just played.
Yeah,
it's like, oh, I was expecting a hi-hat there, or oh, there was no playing at all there.
Sure,
And I was struggling to think, what should go here? It doesn't sound like and I should have followed my instinct and not played anything, But it's just so cool to see that. And again, we're going to be talking about AI next week. And these are one of these things that, the creativity, the injection of yourself, your personality into a song is something I think is missing with all the technology. So more of that stuff, please, Ace.
Yeah. And also, as for drummers who listen to the show, or if your kids are playing drums, remember, you're the driving backbone of the band, because if you go to halftime or to a 6-8 pattern or anything and the rest of the band is still in wherever signature, you're still controlling the movement, the flow, the danceable beat, all of that. So that's where your creativity is like, hey, I kind of hear this here, you know. Now, of course, if you spring it on the band in the middle of a show, they might yell at you after, but you at least realize the power that you have in your hands.
And you might be trying to find another gig, too.
That's right. You'd be into a new band.
If they get too upset.
I'm out of here.
Yeah. How awesome is that? I got to pick up the guitar and play. I've been traveling quite a bit, so I haven't been playing that much. But, next time I'm home for a little bit of stretch, I'll definitely get my fingers busy on that neck again.
Well, now I'm set up at home, so next time you're in town, you come to my house, just plug in and go.
All right. Sounds good. It's Word of God Wednesday on Beacon of Truth. We're breaking open Mark's Gospel for the Gospel this Sunday. We'd love to hear from you. 833-288-EWTN. Yeah, I like that. It's kind of got that Cars feel.
Yeah.
You know, or Go-Go's or something like that.
Little
kinda
Ramones.
80s pop-ish. Ramones. Yeah, Ramones. Yep. Yeah. Exactly. I like that. Nice little poppy feel there. That's
they
cool.
They all came out of the CBGBs, so it's all fitting.
Yeah. Oh, man. May she rest in peace. Good old CBGBs, man.
They've got the original awning from the club is actually at the Hard Rock Hall of Fame. We saw it when we went to Cleveland.
Oh, really?
So you get to stand front of the awning, and it's, you know, it's very ceremonial for us rock and rollers.
Yeah, so many bands. In fact, it's funny, after they make it, you know, and they're big, they used to still come back to CBGBs
sure.
and play.
Yeah.
Just so they can say that, yes, we can connect on the stage with 20,000 people, but can we still connect with the folks at CBGBs that got us our start, that were, you know,
100%.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. Awesome. Well, it's Word of God Wednesday on Beacon of Truth. I'm your host, Deacon Harold Burke-Sibbers. We're breaking open God's Word in Mark's Gospel, the Gospel for this Sunday, the 23rd Sunday in Ordinary Time, Year B, the year of Mark. We're looking at Mark chapter 7, verses 31 to 37, which I just titled Be Opened. Right? Ephrata. We'll talk about that word, and we'll take a closer look at the gospel connected to your everyday life today on Beacon of Truth. We'd love to hear from you. Give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
Well, you can recall your baptism with a daily having of a holy water found in your home, and it's actually St. Benedict Jubilee medal that is depicted on the front and back of the cross. You can find out more about it if you shop, available now at EWTNRC.com. Remember, online orders of $75 more, you get free standard shipping when you use the code word free at checkout.
All right. Well, it's time to break open God's Word in this Soulful Psalms segment of Beacon of Truth, which is available on its own podcast. Go to Podcast Central, EWTN.com, or on Spotify or iCloud or SoundCloud or iTunes, whatever your favorite podcast medium is, and download the Soulful Psalms as its own podcast. Go. Love to hear you. Break open God's Word into Psalms every single day. And today, we're going to continue our look at Psalm 72. Psalm 72 is a pretty long psalm. We're going to look at verses 10 through 15. We already looked at verses 1 through 9. Now, Psalm 72, the prescript says of Solomon. All right, so if you, there's two psalms that you can say are attributed to Solomon. Psalm 127, which is one of the gradual psalms, Psalms 120 to 134, so 127 is attributed to Solomon, and this one, Psalm 72. However, there are some that study the Psalms that say that this is actually David writing about his son Solomon, right? So it's of Solomon. So you can interpret it as being written by Solomon because this is written of Solomon, or this could be David writing about Solomon. So either way, I have a tendency to think it's probably David writing about Solomon. But there are parts of it, like what we're going to start off with today, that makes me think that Solomon could have written it as well. What do I mean? Verse 10, the kings of Tarshish and the islands shall pay him tribute. The kings of Sheba and Seba shall bring him gifts. So we know, for example, very early on in Solomon's reign, that the queen of Sheba, which is in on the continent of Africa, probably right around Ethiopia, came to see him, to visit. She heard about the wisdom of Solomon and came with a whole retinue of gold and camels and dromedaries and all these different animals, and came to visit and to honor Solomon and his wisdom. You know, so either David was prophetic in stating this, because obviously if this was written by David, he would have written it before he died, and all of these things happened after he died. So he either being prophetic about it, or it's Solomon writing, talking about praising God for, look what's happened since I followed your ways and been faithful to you, which he would not always do. We know toward the end of his life, he had hundreds of wives, gave in to their desires for him to worship other gods. And so Solomon got off track. But during this time, he may have written about the kings of Tarshish that visited him and paid tribute to him because of his extensive wisdom. In verse 11, before him all kings shall fall prostrate, all nations shall serve him. Right? So again, Solomon served during a time of peace. During the time of many of the kings, it was a time of war. Right, it was kind of war, like David, of course, there were many wars that David fought. After Solomon, there were a number of wars that were fought as well. But Solomon served during a time of peace. And so, the other nations around him that paid tribute to him were acknowledging his incredible wisdom. And we know that Solomon wrote the Book of Wisdom and Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, right? And we know for sure Psalm 127, you know, so his wisdom was very extensive and very well known throughout the known world at that time. Verse 12, for he shall save the needy when they cry, the poor and those who are helpless. So Solomon's wisdom and his heart extends beyond just his knowledge. He also has an incredible and beautiful heart for God. And that heart is shown in the way that he extends that heart to the poor and those who are helpless. He did not forget the cry of the poor. Right? He will have pity on the weak and the needy and save the lives of the needy. From oppression and violence, he redeems their souls. To him, their blood is dear. All right, so Solomon is a wise king. He's also a very beneficent and very generous and very kind king. A king is one not just who rules, but who serves, right? Headship, leadership, authority is rooted in service, right? And we talked about this before on the show, how Jesus in John's gospel washed the feet of the apostles, something that only a servant would do, a slave would do, to model in his own actions the way that the apostles were supposed to serve the church. And of course, Solomon, long before Jesus, understands this. And listening to his father in 1 Kings chapter 2, when his father gave him that kind of last discourse, his last words to his son, right before he took the throne, while David was still alive, by the way. And when we, if we ever exegete Psalm 110, we'll talk about that. He takes the throne while David is still alive, and he gives him his last words of encouragement, his last words of wisdom that he imparts to his son, right? And so he takes that to heart, and he rules not with an iron fist, but with the beautiful heart of God. Love that. Long may he live. May the gold of Sheba be given him, which of course is just exactly what happened. The gold of Sheba was given to him. They shall pray for him without ceasing and bless him all the day. You know, what's so cool about this is that when the king serves well, people want to follow him, right? When he's doing, exercising his kingship in the way that God has intended, not just with human mindset, the people want to follow him, right? Because they know that he is there. God has appointed him, and he's leading them, and God is assisting him in his leadership. It's no different than a father at home in a family, right? Or a priest who's the father of a parish family, right? Jesus gives the model of how they're supposed to serve. And so if the father is doing the things that he's supposed to do as a husband, as a father, if he's leading his family with the heart of Christ, then his wife and kids will follow him, right? Why? Because he's leading them deeper to intimacy with the Lord, right? Which is what Solomon is doing, at least in this part of his reign. Again, later on, different story, which shows us if you get too far away from God and get caught up in the world, you know, then you forget your roots, your foundation. And that's never a good thing.
Well, I can't help but think of the Earth, Wind, and Fire song, Shining Star, you know, because it's the setting the example, you know, shining star for you to see what your life can truly be. So as you follow in the example of those who are following after God, which is what is trying to pass along here, that's, we're able to go, okay, this is how I need to be living my life in order for me to shine to the world.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And that's why we have to stay close to the Lord, you know, and that's why I have to follow him, not just with our lips, but with our hearts.
Amen.
Right? Our hearts have to be in it. It's a relationship. If your heart's not in it, then what's the point? Just like music. If your heart's not in it, you can tell.
Right.
You know, like, that doesn't sound like, that, you know, you can't feel it.
Right.
You know, the one thing I love about music is the feel.
Yeah.
You know, and if it doesn't matter even what genre it's in. You know, if you don't feel it, it's something that, to me, there's something missing. There's something that's not quite there. Just also like a meal, right? If you're eating something, there's something not quite there that kind of pulls everything together.
Yeah.
You know, but it's the Holy Spirit that pulls all of this together, that shows us and showing us the way to deeper intimacy with the Lord and allowing us to hear God's voice in a very intimate and personal way, and to follow him with courage and conviction.
Yeah, and
you know, that's key.
And even to sponge out all the things that are keeping us from being in a place that we can receive and hear and obtain the wisdoms. Dr. Anders even talked about that today, of that, you know, if you're in a sinful mindset or headspace or, you know, body temperature, then you're in a place where you can't receive the wisdoms that you need to in order to understand how God works or how he wants to work in your life. So that's the gut check that we have to with ourselves say, okay, Holy Spirit, do what you need to do so that I can sponge out all that is the ick in my life and can make room for clean water.
Yeah. And you have to give the Holy Spirit permission to do that, though. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And then it says, long may he live, may the gold of sheep be given him. They shall pray for him with assistance and bless him all the day. May grain be abundant in the land, waving to the peaks of the mountains. May its fruit rustle like Lebanon. May the people flourish in the cities like grass on the earth. And so I love that. So when the people are encouraged by their leaders, there's an abundance, there's a richness, there's a fruitfulness in their relationship. I love that. Well, it's Word of God Wednesday. We're breaking open God's Word in Mark's Gospel, the reading for this Sunday. We'd love you to hear from you today, 833-288 EWTN. Yeah.
He's making her talk.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that. It's got that who's that? Sound like a kind of early 90s kind of rock pop.
Yeah, I kind of equate it with like the Bon Jovi, Boston,
yeah,
like those arena
yeah,
Bon bands,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, not too hard, but
no.
but still nice solid groove there.
It's what they might call chick rock, you know. it gets all the chicks' attention.
Yeah.
No offense to the women out there, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
That's how musicians talk, right?
All right. Well, it's Word of God Wednesday. Beacon of Truth. I'm your host, Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers. We're breaking open God's Word in the Gospel reading for this Sunday, which is the 23rd Sunday of Ordinary Time, Year B. So, of course, it's Mark's Gospel, Mark chapter 7, verses 31 to 37. Be opened. Would love to hear from you. You know, maybe there's a time that, because he opens the ears of the man who was deaf and could not speak. Maybe there were times that you were deaf. Your ears weren't open to hearing truth. Your ears weren't open to hearing what God was trying to say in your life. Maybe you couldn't speak. You were afraid to speak boldly about your faith. Maybe you were afraid to stand up and defend the truth of the faith. Maybe you wanted to say something to someone, maybe to help them, but you were afraid to. Would love to hear your experience of being deaf and not being able to speak because you didn't have the courage to. And then when you encountered Christ, things changed in your life. Would love to hear from you today. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
I want to give a big shout out and congratulations to two more of our members of EWTN Radio, Two Hearts Communication in Walla Walla, Washington, celebrating 23 years, and then Ludington Catholic Voice in Ludington, Michigan, with 8 years. So congratulations to Rod and Kimberly, as well as Father Wayne, for all their hard work from all of your friends here at EWTN.
All right. Yeah, congratulations. And want to encourage you to continue to be part of the EWTN family. All right, got a couple questions here from YouTube. Oh, I got a text, actually. Yeah, that's right. Remember, you can text the letters EWTN to 58177. Wait for our response, then text your first name and your brief question. Remember that message and data rates may apply. And we got a text from Corky, who said, I'm new into looking into the Bible. Why is the Old Testament so dark compared to the New Testament? All right. So it's not, I think what you mean by dark, there's more stories like murder and killing and war and things like that than there are in the New Testament. Well, the Old Testament, remember, is the precursor of and the foreshadowing of Christ, right? So you have to look at the Old Testament. There's three ways to look at it. Since you're new to looking at all this, the way the Catholic Church sees it is the literal sense of Scripture and the spiritual sense of Scripture. Okay, so the literal sense would be the not literally like word for word, but the literal historical sense. It looks at grammar and syntax and language and culture, right? So that's we look at it within kind of a historical context. But we have to see that in light of the spiritual senses of Scripture. And there's three spiritual senses, allegorical, tropological, and anagogical. So in other words, allegorical. It's looking at how the Old Testament foreshadows Christ. It's all, sometimes it's called typology, right? The allegorical sense is called typology. Things in the Old Testament that point to and move us toward closer to the relationship with Christ. So sometimes it may seem dark because Jesus says, I am the light of the world. I am the light that has come into the darkness. Remember, even Zechariah in the Benedictus prayer in Luke's gospel says that the dawn from on high shall break upon us. Talking about Christ now, who's the dawn, right? The sun rising, the dawn from on high that breaks upon us, that shines on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and who guides our feet into the way of peace. So the darkness of the Old Testament comes from the fact that there's no Christ yet. There's no light of Christ. God tried to enter into covenant relationships, 6 different covenants, which all failed, not because God failed, because we failed to live up to our end of the covenant. So he finally had to establish the new and eternal covenant in and through his son, Jesus Christ. So the darkness of the Old Testament is waiting for the light of Christ, to break forth and shine into the world. All right, so that's what I would say there. And also, Maggie on YouTube, that's really amazing. I never knew this about King Solomon. Yes, that's why we do are breaking open the word in the Soulful Psalms. And now, we just take a look at Mark chapter 7, verses 31 to 37. All right, so again, if you've had the experience of being deaf and not hearing God's word, maybe you were in a place in your life where your heart was closed, your ears were closed to listening to truth, or you were unable to speak. You couldn't speak God's word. You were speaking vulgar language. You were speaking the language of the culture. And then you encountered Christ. And after that encounter with Christ, your ears were open. Your mouth was open. You were able to speak. So let's take a quick look at this gospel exegetically, right? And then we'll apply it to the lived experience. So Jesus was in the district of Tyre. He just left the district of Tyre and went away the way of Sidon to the Sea of Galilee into the district of the Decapolis. So Deca means 10. So this is probably the area where there's 10 cities within that area there. And the people brought to him a deaf man who had a speech impediment. So he was deaf. And often when people are deaf, you notice that when they try to speak, there's a kind of a lag or, you know, in their speech. So the ears and the ability to speak are connected. And so they begged Jesus to lay hands on him. So Jesus could have simply just said, be open and done, and walked away. Or lay the people wanted him to do, lay his hand on the man, on his head, or on his shoulder, or wherever, and just say, okay, you're cured now, your faith is saved. He didn't do that. He does something very interesting here in Mark's gospel. He takes the guy off by himself, away from the crowd. He puts his one finger into the man's ears, and then he spat, and then touch the guy's tongue. And he's like, wait a minute. What is he doing? Why did he just lay a hand on him and cure him? What is this thing about sticking his finger in his ear and then spitting and touching his tongue? You know, putting your hand in someone else's mouth and all this kind of stuff. He said, then he looked up to heaven and groaned and said to him, Ephrata, that is, be open. That's the Aramaic. In Hebrew, it's pada, which means be open. In fact, that word para is used in Genesis chapter 1, where it says, be fruitful and multiply. The word there is para, to be fruitful, means to be open, right? And so that's the word that's used here in Aramaic, afrata, be open. And so Jesus, so when Jesus touches it, first of all, it shows the intimacy that Jesus wants with us, right? He could have just, like with the soldier that came to him, my servant is sick, you know, I know you can cure him if you can, you know, and then he said, all you have to do is speak the word and he'll be healed, right? That's what we get from the Mass. Only say the word and my servant shall be healed. So that's the kind of faith that this man had. So Jesus could have done it from afar, but here he shows the level of intimacy. He literally wants to touch us with his own hands, right? He wants to love us with his own heart. And so he put his finger in the guy's ear. He spat and then touched the guy on his tongue in the two places where there was an impediment there. And then he groaned as he prayed to his father, and he said, be opened. And immediately the man's ears were opened, his speech impediment was removed, and he spoke plainly, right? Shows the power. Now, this is, I would consider this one of the foundational scriptures when we look at in the Catholic Church the practice of relics, right? When we have a relic of a saint or something from a saint, and we touch it to something, or we wear it around our neck, or we keep it on display in the church, you know, Jesus is God. He is God, Christ himself, and he touches the man, right? And so, in the sense, the man became a relic of Christ, if you will, right? So you can see the idea of relics here is this closeness to Christ. This is closeness to God in the Spirit, right? You can see the intimacy that God wants with us here. And he ordered them not to say anything. But the more he told them not to, the more they did. So you might think, well, this is a strategy that Jesus employed to be able to spread the news about him. No, no, no. Now, he did that with the Gentiles, right? So with the woman at the well, or with the demoniac and Gennesaret that he cured, he encouraged them to go spread the news, but not with the Jews, because they knew that they would try and make him king, and things would happen before it was time for it to happen. Things were going to happen before it was time. And so he said, don't say anything. And as a result, we don't see that here, but as a result of that, we see in another gospel, he was unable to go to certain places and do the things God asked him to do, his father asked him to do, because of the people that were there who wanted to turn him into a king and make him a secular leader when he came to save souls, right? And they said amongst us, they were astonished, he has done all these things well. He makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. And I'm sure they had Isaiah in mind, right? Isaiah chapter 35 is the first reading where Isaiah talks about when God comes to you with vindication, with divine recompense, when he comes to save you, know what's going to happen when God comes and does that? The eyes of the blind will be open, Isaiah says. The ears of the deaf will be clear. The lame will leap like a stag. And leptiskirtaou, which is the same word that's used in Luke's gospel for John the Baptist leaping in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary. The word here in Hebrew is dalak. In Greek is skirtaou. In Hebrew it's dalak. But that leaping, that incredible joy. Then the tongues of the mute will sing. Right? That's the prediction of Isaiah for the Messiah who's going to come with God, divine recompense, with vindication in order to save us. So we see Jesus living out the prophecy of Isaiah from the first reading of the gospel. Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. And we'd love to hear from you today. We're talking about the connection between this Sunday's gospel, the opening of the ears of the man that was deaf and could not speak. What about in your life? What about when you were deaf to God's word, when you are not listening to the voice of the church, when your ears weren't open to hearing truth, or your tongue was afraid to speak? You were speaking earthly things. You were speaking things of pleasure and self-gratification. But now, after your encounter with Christ, you're speaking the words of God in your life, right? Love to hear from you today. Give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. And we have Teresa on the phone. She's near Philadelphia, PA, listening on Holy Spirit Radio. Teresa, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Oh, hi. I'm on the air.
Yes, you are.
Okay, I had a concern about, I mean, when I go to church, almost everybody goes up to communion. But mm-hmm. when I go to confession, hardly anybody goes to confession. So, well, shouldn't people that go to communion have that grace of the sacrament of reconciliation before they go to communion?
Yes, that's true. But here, so let me say a couple things on that, Teresa. Thank you so much for your call. Well, first of all, you don't know the state of the people that are coming to communion. So, for example, Teresa, I travel extensively. I'm literally on a plane almost every week of the year, probably 42 or 43 weeks a year I'm traveling. And so I always don't have time to go to my parish for reconciliation. But I go regularly. But sometimes I have to go, like if I'm at a parish, when I'm traveling, I'll go to that parish. I'll go to Mass and then and confession at the parish where I'm going to be. Or if I'm home, my parish doesn't have confessions till Saturday night before Mass. Well, Sometimes I can't wait. I mean, I want to go when I'm home, when I have time. So I go to the Dominican Priory because they have confessions available every single day. So I know people also that go to work, and they'll go to confession at the parish near where they work. So, yeah, you may not see them in the line at confession, but maybe going to confession at other places. And so they're in a state of grace when they come to their regular parish on Sunday to receive communion. So that could be the case. But also it could be the case, is what you're stating, Teresa, that there are people that are just coming to communion, but they don't understand that Christ cannot do anything for them. They're not receiving any grace from that sacrament unless they receive him in a state of grace. And so there should be a catechesis that's done by the priest on the sacrament of reconciliation and how, and its connection with the Eucharist and communion, right? Because everybody that goes to communion, they're saying something with their bodies. They're saying, Lord Jesus, I love you more than anyone or anything in this world. I love you so much, I want you to create your life in me. That's what we're saying every time we go to communion. If you're in a state of mortal sin and you're cut off from God's life, then your walking up toward the received communion is a lie, you know? And so, yes, we want to pray that everybody's in that state of grace. So this is why, for example, I think priests should offer more times for communion, for reconciliation during the week, to give people more opportunity to come to Mass in a state of grace. Is that helpful for you, Teresa?
Yes. So, okay. Yeah, that's helpful.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Teresa, for your call. Appreciate it very much. We're breaking open God's Word in the Scriptures today. We're looking at the readings for this Sunday, 23rd Sunday of Ordinary Time, Jesus healing the man that was deaf and could not speak. So, how do we connect this to our everyday life? So, a number of years back when I was still living in my home state of New Jersey, and I was working as a detective, and I was coming, and I was embedded in this drug thing. So I was coming back, and it was fairly late at night, and it was a cold, one of those cold, wintry, blustery winter nights. And I was getting out of my car, and I noticed there was an elderly man who had a bag he was carrying, and he slipped and fell on the ice, and he spilled the bag. It looked like there were groceries on the sidewalk. My heart broke. I ran over to the man and offered assistance to help him up and to help him pick up his groceries. And when I looked at him, I said, "Are you okay, sir?" The man looked at me and he was frightened. And I said, "Oh boy, I've seen that look before." And I knew right away he was afraid of me, you know, afraid that I was going to rob him or take advantage of it, you know, while he was on the ground and steal something from him. And so I tried to help him, and he was very uncomfortable. He's kind of pulling away from me. So, you know what? I walked away and left him there, you know, as much as I didn't want to do that, it was better that he not be scared and not be stressed than him thinking and not see. I realized that the man that I encountered was blind because he couldn't see past whatever stereotype he had to see Christ living in me. But yet, I often ask the same question of myself. If we're honest, how many times have I not seen Christ in those around me? How often have I not recognized the face of God in others? Because I was blinded by sin to the reality of God's truth and love. No, the fact is that many of us are blinded by the lies of the secular culture. We become more influenced by the society than by the teachings of Jesus Christ in the church. Jesus tells us, John 14:6, one of the hallmarks of this show, Jesus Christ says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," who sets us free to love, who sets us free to become the person who God created us to be. And Christ gives us this freedom so that we can understand God's love for us and then enter into that relationship with him that's so personal, that every word we speak and every action that we take flows from our love and faithful obedience to God. That's what the divine intimacy is about. So sometimes we're blind to that fact, or we're also deafened by the raucous discord of a culture of political correctness and social indoctrination, right? We are told what to think, not how to think. And if that kind of approach is left unchallenged by the gospel of Jesus Christ, it will ultimately erode our spiritual foundation upon which our faith is built, all in the name of tolerance and diversity and at the expense of authentic truth and freedom, right? We become hard of hearing, and we cannot clearly discern Christ speaking to us, and so we often reject the principles that we must accept the beauty and truth of what the church teaches and believes, thinking instead we can pick and choose what to believe. So instead of trying to internalize the faith and treat the faith as the standard for judging the values of an unbelieving culture that surrounds us, people often, too often, judge which church teachings to accept on the basis of whether they conform to the values of the surrounding culture. Jesus did not die, my friends, so that his truth could be changed by the culture. Jesus gave his life and died so that he could transform the culture with his truth. We cannot embrace the cross without Christ, right? That's what we're talking about today. So this incredible, beautiful encounter that Jesus has with this man who's deaf and who cannot speak, we have to think of ourselves as that man, right? Not necessarily physically deaf or physically unable to speak, but there are times as we're cut off because we're so immersed in the culture, we can't hear or speak the words of God. We can't hear or speak Christ in our lives. Take, for example, our beloved brothers and sisters with gender dysphoria. You know, our brothers and sisters are confused, and this culture continually confused them. So they become deaf to the teachings of the church. They become deaf to the reality that there's only two genders. And if you speak against that, you're the one that's going to be ostracized. In some countries, you can even be arrested. I just saw something in Ireland where a man was arrested because he wouldn't support gender theory or gender ideology. You know, the thing is this. The fact is that people are not trapped in the body of someone, trapped in the body of the wrong sex. If gender dysphoria were biological, then the study, the largest transgender study would prove that to be true, but instead the opposite is true, right? The very opposite is true. The largest transgender study of its kind showed that a study of twins, that 28% of twins identified exposed to the same prenatal hormones as their twin sibling identified as transgenders. But in 70% of those cases, they said transgender had nothing to do with biology. And the fact is, between 75 to 95% of young children who express confusion about their biological sex when they're children, they've come to outgrown it when puberty kicks in and in their teen years. That is a fact, right? And so we love all of our brothers and sisters who are transgender or same-sex attracted. We love them with the love and the heart of Christ. Amen. In fact, we love them enough not to lie to them, right? And so we're talking about making the connection between the gospel and the everyday lived experience. Being deaf and unable to speak God's word, and how after an encounter with Christ, where our ears are open and we're able to speak the truth in love, right? Always in love, Ephesians 4:15, speaking the truth in love. We have Esperanza calling from Flowery Branch, Georgia, listening on the EWTN app. Esperanza, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you for having me. My comment is really simple. I have a son who's deaf, and you don't need to listen to speak about God. he's a person very spiritual. He loves to teach the catechism to his kids. And the only thing you hear from his, him is that praise is about God. A couple years ago, we tried to do a cochlear implant for him. And his response was, no, God sent me like that. And I'm going to stay like God sent me.
Yeah. We'll keep that in prayer, because often when people are afflicted with something, they often blame God. But remember, you can stream today's show by visiting podcastcentralewtang.com/radio. And may Almighty God bless you, keep you, and protect you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.